This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we talk with a doctor about hearing loss, a problem that's likely to affect every one of us sooner or later. And if you don't address it sooner, you almost certainly will be worse off later. And now, we go inside the Compass. Almost everybody will experience tinnitus or hearing loss at some point in their life, but 84% of those who could benefit from hearing aids have never used them, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And that's a big deal, because several studies indicate that untreated hearing loss can lead to shrinkage of the brain, impaired cognitive ability, and dementia. We talked with Dr. Cameron Mickle, a Port Ludlow audiologist, about this critical and undertreated problem.
How common is hearing loss?
Hearing loss is extremely common. It's actually one of the most common chronic diseases worldwide. In the United States, the estimate is between 40 to 45 million individuals with some degree of hearing loss, and that ranges from newborn infants to, you know, adults of all ages.
Interesting. We seem to associate it with senior citizens. Is it most prevalent in senior citizens among your demographics?
It is. My demographic is definitely geared a little bit more towards an adult population. Kids often have multiple needs associated with hearing loss that are better treated at a multi-specialty clinic like Children's Hospital in Seattle rather than in my small little practice. But we do see more aging-related hearing loss or hearing loss in older adulthood due to noise damage over time. Maybe we worked in a factory or had some military service with that really loud noise destroying things over time.
I know a few people who have hearing aids, but almost never wear them. My next-door neighbor, for instance. Do you have any idea? I should ask him, but do you have any idea why someone would resist wearing something that will help them hear better?
So a lot of times, patients wait until they're really having a lot of problems, and then we have a very, very slow process of rehabilitating the brain to use the sounds properly and get used to hearing again. In some situations, for example, a factory worker, noise distorts hearing besides just causes the softest sound needing to be louder before we hear it. So when we get distortion, that ends up being something that hearing aids can't always, you know, work around, that we might have limited word understanding. So we can give better access to sound, but not necessarily always fix all of the problem. It's a hearing aid, not a hearing cure. Mm-hmm. Because of that, we have a lot of individuals that can hear sound, but it's the quality of how they hear. And so they say, you know, I do okay, and don't bother with having to fiddle with one more thing in the morning to get ready and, you know, go about their day. Current research is showing that that's a really lousy idea to leave a hearing loss untreated. We're finding more and more research showing that there's a relationship between hearing loss and cognitive decline as we age. And we don't know the causalities. We can't say, you know, at this much hearing loss, we're going to have this much risk. But we know at this point that there is a very firm relationship there. And it's something that keeping connected to the world around us is a really good idea.
As someone who has hearing loss right now, a question that occurred to me is, can hearing loss be cured? Can you fix it forever?
Depending on the type, yes.
Really?
Conductive hearing loss, usually we can get a fix for that, or at least some improvement. For example, a conductive hearing loss could be caused by a chunk of earwax. We get the earwax out of the way, problem solved. If it's perhaps otosclerosis, which is a hardening of the little ear bones, surgically treated with that, we have some good outcomes that usually result in better hearing. Sometimes it's not perfect hearing afterwards, but it's usually much better than leaving things untreated.
And for those conditions that can't be cured, how can it best be treated?
So typically, we'll do a diagnostic hearing test to identify the type and potential causes of the hearing loss. If we find something that indicates there's a conductive or a mixed component between conductive and sensory loss, then we usually refer out to the ENT surgeon for medical evaluation.
For those who don't know, ENT stands for?
Oh, otolaryngology. They're the ear, nose, and throat surgeons.
Yes.
They take the hearing test results, and with other testing, they may look at, you know, blood work. They could do imaging studies to see what's going on, to build a plan of treatment medically. That could include, you know, medication. It could be surgery. It could be something where they say, we're going to watch and wait on things at the moment.
Some people have hearing loss but are hesitant to seek help for it. Do you have any ideas why that would be? Is there a stigma about wearing hearing aids, for instance?
Absolutely. So when I was in school, one of my big research projects on my thesis was actually social perceptions of hearing loss in children. And it was a curious thing to me because I grew up with a lot of family members with hearing loss and classmates in school with hearing loss. And we looked at it from a post-ADA implementation and found that kids with hearing loss were not negatively associated the same way that adults associate hearing loss in their same peers. Hmm. We're finding that that's becoming less and less of a stigma, and it's more of an internal stigma a lot of times, that we kind of go, oh, this maybe, you know, makes me feel a little bit old, or it draws attention to me in a way I don't care for. And a lot of times we're finding that the user, when they come back for follow-ups and things, go, you know, my friends didn't notice. They just, you know, I had to show them my hearing aid. So we've got a lot of very discreet options. Some of them, you know, I don't like the word invisible, but virtually invisible that way. And so that stigma is getting less and less. I think with all of the other additional technology like headphones and Bluetooth things for phones, that technology is just so prevalent, people don't worry about it the same way older generations did.
Many years ago, when I would see, for example, a senior citizen who had a hearing aid, it was this gigantic contraption on the back of their ear. Now they are sometimes semi-invisible or not very noticeable or completely invisible, miracle in the ear kind of things. How has the technology in hearing aids changed over the years?
So I have seen technology become digital from an analog perspective and watched the evolution where we can actually program and fine-tune the hearing based on each individual's needs rather than more of an off-the-shelf type approach. I have seen interesting devices come out that are geared towards very niche populations with certain cosmetic concerns, such as the Lyric device that fits completely down in the ear canal and gets changed out every couple of months. It fits a very small population, but it's a interesting device, and for those that it works for, it's a great option. With traditional behind-the-ear or in-the-ear hearing aids, we can make them super tiny to fit all the way in the ear canal. We can have some that are very discreet behind the ear with rechargeable batteries and Bluetooth connections for other technology to be able to hear.
Now, I am wearing a hearing aid for the first time in my life. I am aware of it most of the time, but I'm just getting used to it. Is it your experience with your patients that over time, or maybe right from the get-go, they don't feel it at all? They forget they even have one. Is that something these patients experience sometimes?
Absolutely. So it definitely depends on the individual, but we can run the spectrum from it's very comfortable, I don't notice it's there, to individuals that have to get used to having a foreign body in the ear. Similar to putting on a new pair of shoes or perhaps a ring or watch for the first time, we notice that and kind of fiddle with it a little bit. And over time, the body adjusts and says, all right, this is normal, not so big a deal. And the adaptation is usually fairly quick on that.
You mentioned some different types of hearing loss. Can you quickly go over the different types and maybe what the causes are of these different types of hearing loss?
Sure. So we'll start with a conductive hearing loss that is usually medically or surgically treated. that is something keeping sound from being loud enough. So a plug of earwax, an ear infection, otosclerosis of the middle ear bones, things like that are treated, and majority of the time the treatment fixes the problem and we're left, you know, in a better situation. With sensory neural hearing loss, that's usually related to different types of disease attacking the inner structures of the ear, like the nerve damage from noise. It could be genetically related, family history of hearing loss that might show up. It can be related to just natural aging changes. And so we usually see a combination of multiple factors. In my clinic, focused a bit more towards a adult population, we typically see things from injury that caused damage, illness, or natural aging combined with noise exposure over time.
Is that the most common brand of hearing loss that you just mentioned?
It is, yeah. Noise exposure, if we could minimize our noise exposure, we'd have a whole lot less troubles out there hearing.
So you're saying I shouldn't have been a drummer in rock bands all those years back in the day?
Oh, I think it's wonderful to be a musician, because musicians think about sound in ways that non-musicians don't. And it's not something they necessarily do on purpose. Their brain magically, you know, works on a finer-tuned processor when they play music. And that's for any musician. But play safely. Use your earplugs. Minimize your exposure to keep what you've got. Because once it's gone, it's gone.
Yes, I never used earplugs while I was playing drums in rock bands. And in the concert I mentioned to you, Hart, down in the Tacoma Dome, I noticed the drummer had full-on earphones over his ears.
Yes, you'll see there are a couple of different styles, from over-the-ear headphones that will help to minimize stage noise. There are now in-ear monitors that are a hybrid between a earplug as well as a speaker, so that the performers can hear the music and hear the vocals and everything without having to just stand on stage and listen and be bombarded by all the sound.
In front of a gigantic Marshall amplifier.
Absolutely.
Now, I have tinnitus, and you pronounced it differently. How is it pronounced?
So it varies by region. Some people pronounce it tinnitus. Some people pronounce it tinnitus. Either is an acceptable form.
Okay. And I have that. Tinnitus is a constant ringing in the ears. Is there any known cure for that? I think you may have mentioned something along those lines earlier.
At this point, we don't have a cure for it. We know that tinnitus is a brain-generated sound in a response to change in hearing. So it could be that you put an earplug in and sound diminishes. Your brain wants that input. It looks for more sound and we get a little phantom sound there. Everybody experiences it in total silence at some point.
Is that right? Everybody has a ringing in their ears at some point?
At some point, everybody will experience it at some times. Usually it's a transient thing that as soon as we're out of the very, very quiet environment, typically like an anechoic chamber in a lab, or, you know, maybe a very, very quiet evening around the house, somebody is going to get it at some point. It's the chronic tinnitus that comes back, you know, regularly or that doesn't go away that is more signs of chronic problems and damage to hearing structures. At this point, we know areas of the brain that respond to tinnitus treatments and different things with sound therapy. We do not have a, you know, magic cure yet. We don't have a pill or, you know, surgery that fixes things, but we do have a lot of options for helping minimize its annoyance during the day.
Mm-hmm. And the kind I have, which has been going on for decades, and it may be a combination of those garage band days, but as well as the fact that as a sports writer, I was in very loud stadiums, basketball, football, Major League Baseball, all of those things for decades. Do you think constant exposure to loud noise would be a cause and make it incurable?
Absolutely. So myself, for example, I've had tinnitus in my right ear since I was about 12 years old. And that started when I was out at a shooting range with my sister and older brother, family friend. We were playing with some new firearms had picked up and practicing target shooting and things. We had earplugs on, but my sister shot a 45 about 4 feet to my side, and it was loud enough that my ears started ringing, and it has rang ever since. It comes and goes a little bit, but it's there daily.
Interesting.
We can see chronic noise exposure from factory workers or individuals that, you know, work in noisy environments. We talked about musicians. They're known to have a lot of hearing troubles and tinnitus. So it can be a one-time exposure event as a participant at the concert. It could be the one-time exposure event or chronic exposure over, you know, decades of noise.
Interesting. So you had a one-time exposure to a gun going off near your ear. I'm wondering, did that cause a physiological problem, or is it all in your brain?
So I'd like to say I probably have a physiologic problem going on, and I have never actually gone in and had an MRI or anything that way, which we're not going to see much as far as a tinnitus response there. We have no test that can pinpoint and say, oh, hey, here it is. So some of it is subjective on testing. There are new tests such as otoacoustic emissions that can test the cochlear function of structures in their inner ear. In my case, I have really beautiful responses in my left ear. I have no responses in my right ear, and I have no acoustic reflex in my right ear. So we have indication that some damage happened, but what exactly was damaged, we're not that fine of diagnostic testing yet.
I don't know if you said when that happened, but did that have anything to do with you choosing to be an audiologist?
No, actually, it probably should have, but I had wanted to go into otolaryngology as a major and do surgery. Having spent some time shadowing an otolaryngologist, I loved what they did. I didn't care for the liability of surgery and some of the hours of on-call and different things like that. So, as I was exploring different options, cousins of mine have hearing loss since I was just little growing up, and my mom kind of made a comment of, you know, you've always been fascinated by the gadgetry of the hearing aids. Have you ever considered looking at that avenue of healthcare? So I shot out an audiologist in Utah for a couple of weeks and really fell in love with what she did and the diagnostic end of it, working in healthcare, the treatment end of it, and really seeing patients from start to finish on their journey of, you know, improving their quality of life. That's where I went, I like this. This is a good fit.
Now, I know from personal experience that hearing loss can sneak up on you. I was asking people to repeat themselves regularly, but I just thought they weren't speaking clearly. So what are some of the signals that we can look for to let us know when we need to have our hearing checked?
So if the friends and family tend to start mumbling and we start asking for repetition, that's usually a pretty good sign that some things are starting to decline. That is kind of our big cue, because most of us lose hearing loss in the higher frequencies first. Higher frequencies are consonant sounds that give us the clarity to speech. So as those disappear, individuals' volume can be really good, but the clarity to what they're saying disappears, and it becomes very mumbled and garbled. When we ask for repetition, sometimes we can fill in some of those blanks, but often we're so focused on filling in the missing piece, the brain kind of glosses over and says, oh, there's that missing piece, but what was it? So it's something that if friends and family are mentioning it, that's a good sign. If we're talking on the phone, you hold the phone to one ear versus the other and you have a perception of different sound quality, that's a good sign. Of course, obvious things of, you know, a smell or drainage from the ear, you want to get checked out. Any sudden change in hearing, you know, if you get up one day and all of a sudden you feel that one ear is not working as well as the other, or if you're talking on the phone, you swap ears and you're not hearing out of it, that's an emergency situation. That is something that you need a hearing test and you need to be seen by an ENT within, you know, a matter of minutes.
Wow.
The sooner we can intervene on that, the better off we're going to be. Any sudden change, smells, drainage, asking for repetition, or if you have, you know, a sudden change in how you feel, you hear the TV is a pretty common one. If that TV volume starts sneaking up, time to get things looked at.
Now, do hearing aids bring their own set of problems? I've read that they can cause headaches. The batteries perhaps don't last long. They're fragile, perhaps vulnerable to damage. And sometimes, as we talked about earlier, you get feedback sounds. What about those problems?
So a lot of those problems are common in some regards. They are not nearly as common as they were even a couple of years ago. With advancements in computerized technology, minimizing the circuitry and things like that, we get much smaller devices. They've also started to virtually waterproof the hearing aids so that we don't see the moisture corrosion and issues that way that tended to be one of the big causes of hearing loss failure. They now have filters for protecting the speakers from earwax that are changeable at home. So there's a bit more at-home maintenance that can be done, but they're better solutions to keep the hearing aids working. With the technology improvements, we've seen things like Bluetooth working better for connecting individuals to their phone, friends and family via the phone again, or maybe they like watching videos on the internet and they're able to hear those easier without disturbing others in the house. So we have seen some changes that way. The durability of hearing aids, despite them looking very fragile and feeling delicate, are really designed to be put through their paces. Most hearing aids are now dust resistant, so we don't run into any problems with, you know, construction workers and things quite the same way of dirt and grime plugging things up. And with the specificity of repairs, we can often get things repaired in office now rather than having to send them off for several weeks to get repaired at a factory and back.
Bottom line, these things are a lot better than they used to be and a lot fewer problems with them, yes?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Cameron Mickel. He's an audiologist who has an office here in Port Ludlow, and we'll ask him to plug his business in a few moments so you can find out where he is and how to get help from him if you're interested. But this is really an important topic for our listeners here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. Since the median age of Jefferson County residents is nearly 60, and many of them are already experiencing hearing loss. But what about younger folks? Is there anything they can do to prevent hearing loss so they don't have to come see you later?
Absolutely. I was going to say, everybody's welcome in the office if it's just to say hi, whether or not we've got a hearing loss. So we would love to see less individuals. I always say, you know, I'd love to go out of business because we solved the problem. Unfortunately, in decades and decades of knowing that noise causes problems and advancements in hearing technology, hearing protection technology, we still are young and invincible. And what we see, there are a lot of new programs available through different organizations to encourage younger kids in elementary school of turn the volume down, use earplugs when you're in noise, minimize your time in noise. It's a cumulative thing over time, so less exposure is better. We see a lot of individuals who have hearing loss due to personal music players off their phone and using in-ear earbuds because the sound volume is so loud and we're sealing the ear up, we can do damage faster. So, you know, I recommend over-the-ear headphones rather than earbuds. They have a better sound quality and they're going to be safer to listen with. If you're using a iPod or a smartphone, something like that, to listen with, keep the volume well below half. If you can't have a conversation at about 3 feet without shouting, you're probably listening at an unsafe level. And then if you're going to be doing something recreational, shooting firearms, going to a concert, if it's loud, put in the earplugs. Even mowing the lawn, put in your earplugs. Keep what you've got.
On the internet, one can find dozens of homeopathic alleged remedies for hearing loss, including something called chenopodium. Do you have any opinion on these homeopathic remedies for hearing issues?
So homeopathic remedies vary from treating hearing loss, treating ear infections, removal of earwax. And there are dozens and dozens of them out there for things like tinnitus treatments as well. what we typically find is the claims are too good to be true. Like most things, they are very exaggerated at how well they're going to work. For ear infections and things like that, there are certain herbs and medicines that I have seen work all right for some individuals. I've seen others that it let them, you know, their disease progress and they had a bigger problem later by the time they went and treated it medically. Most of the time, hearing loss is not something that is going to be affected one way or the other by any sort of herb or supplement.
Well, if somebody does need to see an audiologist, which is what you are, tell our listeners about your business. I know you have more than one office, and tell us a little about your history. How long have you been around here? Where are you? And how can they get in touch with you?
Sure. So I've been here with Here for Life Audiology in Port Ludlow in Bainbridge Island, Washington, for 4 years now. Prior to that, I was in practice in Colorado. Had the opportunity to become my own boss and lady retired, so it was a great move that way. I got into audiology really from family members with hearing loss, and that was my first exposure. Getting further into it and watching individuals' lives change really made things great. I have a degree, a doctorate of audiology, which allows me to do all non-medical treatment for hearing loss, tinnitus, and vestibular or balance work. So I focus particularly on hearing diagnostics and rehabilitation, tinnitus therapies, and hearing conservation. We work a lot with different industries in our neighborhood, such as the forestry industries and paper mills that are very noisy. I have contracted with the VA and was trained at a VA center, so I do a lot of veteran work and contract with the VA for taking care of service members out here so that they don't have to try and make it back to VA centers that can be awfully busy on the schedule.
So if they want to find you, check you out, we're a nonprofit public radio station, but you can advertise here for yourself and tell our listeners how to get in touch with you, whether it's the website or a phone number.
Sure. So I'm found on the web at www.hereforlifeaudiology.com. And we're at 115 Village Way in Port Ludlow, right next to the gas station and the Jefferson Healthcare Clinic. We're also on Bainbridge Island at 345 Nectil Way, which is just a few blocks from the ferry terminal on Bainbridge. So we're pretty easy accessed in both neighborhoods. Our main contact number is 360-437-7767 for the Olympic Peninsula, or 206-842-6374 down on Bainbridge.
With audiologist Dr. Cameron Mickle in Port Ludlow, this is David Cunningham for KPTZ News. The Compass airs Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. with a repeat Saturday at noon. Exclusively here on KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend.